Welcome back. In this lesson, we're taking a plain sine sub and giving it that old school rave pressure, right in Psi Ableton Lev 12. We're not wrecking the low end, we're just coloring it so it feels more alive, a bit more aggressive, and way more exciting in a drum and bass arrangement. The big idea here is simple. Keep the sub clean and solid, then add just enough harmonics and movement so it translates on bigger systems, smaller speakers, and in the middle of a busy breakbeat mix. That's the sweet spot. Sub weight first, character second. Let's start by creating a new MIDI track and loading operator. If you prefer Waveatable, that's fine too, but operator is perfect for this because it keeps things super clean and easy. Set oscillator A to a sine wave. Turn oscillators B, C, and D off. Keep the filter off for now, or only use it very gently if you need to tame something later. Then shape the amp envelope so the note starts immediately. Attack at zero, sustain full, and keep the release fairly short, somewhere around 50 to 120 milliseconds depending on the groove. You want the bass to feel tight, not woolly. Now write a simple bass pattern. For old school pressure, don't overcomplicate it. Think rhythmic, punchy, and space conscious. Let the notes work with the kick and snare rather than fighting them. A good starting point is a one bar or two bar phrase with short notes, maybe a note on beat one, another little hit on the offbeat, and a held note near the end of the bar for tension. Short notes usually work better here than long drones. This style lives on movement and rhythm. Before we add any grime or excitement, clean up the low end a little. Put EQ to after operator. If there's unwanted rumble below the useful sub area, trim it gently. Don't high pass too aggressively, because you want to keep the fundamental intact. Usually the useful weight sits somewhere around 40 to 60 Hz depending on the key of the track. If it feels muddy, you can dip a little around 120 to 250 Hz. Just a little. We're making room, not hollowing it out. Now for the fun part. Add saturator. This is where the sine stops being plain and starts getting that rave edge. Push the drive somewhere around plus 2 to plus 8 dB to start, and turn soft clip on. Then lower the output to match the level. That part matters a lot. We want tone, not just volume. Listen closely. The bass should feel more audible, more defined, and a little more exciting on smaller speakers, but the low end should still stay stable. If it starts getting fuzzy or broken, back the drive off and lower the output. A lot of beginners accidentally confuse louder with better. Try to avoid that. Ask yourself after every device, did this improve the tone, or did it just make it louder? Next, add drum bus after saturator. This is one of those Ableton devices that can instantly give bass some attitude. A little drive, a touch of crunch, and careful use of boom can add weight and old school push. Keep drive moderate, around 5 to 15%. Keep crunch low. If you use boom, stay subtle and aim around 50 to 60 Hz. Too much boom and the sub gets bloated fast. We want tight, physical pressure, not a messy low-end cloud. If the bass feels too clean still, or if you want it to translate better on more systems, it's time to add a separate character layer. This is one of the most useful tricks in bass design. Keep the clean sub doing the foundation work, and build the character on top of it. One easy method is to duplicate the track. On the duplicate, high pass it around 120 Hz so it's not fighting the sub. Then add saturator again. Maybe a little redux if you want a rougher digital edge, and EQ to shape it. Keep this layer low in the mix. It should be felt more than heard as a separate sound. Its job is to add speaker translation, grit, and mid-range identity without messing with the sub. If you want an even cleaner workflow, you can build this inside an audio effect rack. One chain can be the clean sub, another can be the harmonic color layer, and maybe a third can be the more aggressive mid-bite layer. That gives you easy macro control later, which is fantastic for arrangement work. Now let's add motion. Put auto filter on the colored layer, or after the saturation stage if you want the whole sound to move together. Try a low pass or band pass filter, depending on the vibe. A little resonance goes a long way. Automate the cutoff so it opens and closes across the phrase. Maybe it stays more closed in the groove, then opens a bit in transitions or fill bars. This kind of movement makes the bass feel like it's breathing with the tune. If the dynamics are uneven, add compressor or glue compressor after the tone shaping. You only need light control here. Slowish attack, moderate release, and just enough compression to keep the bass consistent. If you're sidechaining to the kick, keep it subtle. The goal is for the kick to punch through while the bass still holds weight. Now we get into arrangement, because this is where the bass becomes part of a proper tune instead of just a loop. In the intro, you might only use the clean sub, filtered down and kept simple. Then as you move into the build, bring in a little more color and filter movement. On the drop, let the full bass through with the harmonics active. In the breakdown, strip it back again. Then for the second drop, bring it back with a little more drive or a more open filter. That contrast is what makes the bass feel like it's evolving. A really strong move is to automate the color, not just the volume. Instead of making the bass louder in the drop, try opening the filter, increasing saturation a touch, or blending in more of the mid layer. That gives the arrangement energy without wrecking your headroom. And speaking of headroom, keep an eye on it. Bass chains can get loud fast, and if you're stacking saturator, drum bus, compression, and a second layer, it's very easy to overpower the whole mix. After each stage, check the level. If the sound got better only because it got louder, pull it back a little. Also, remember this. Always judge the bass with the drums. Soloing is useful for sound design, but the real test is how the bass works with kick, snare, hats, and breaks. Does the kick still punch? Is the snare clear? Can you still hear the note shape when the full loop is playing? If not, simplify before you add more processing. A strong sign plus one good color device can beat a long chain of unnecessary effects. If you want to push the old school vibe even further, try a few extras. Tiny glide between notes can give it a classic jungle feel. A triangle wave can sometimes be a nice alternative to a pure sign if you want a little more body before saturation. Redux can add that gritty warehouse-era digital edge if you use it sparingly. And if you have roar available, that can be a really powerful way to add controlled aggression while keeping the sound musical. Here's a great practice move. Build a 16-bar arrangement. Start with a sign-based sub and operator. Add EQ8, saturator, drum bus, and compressor. Then make a second harmonic layer with high-pass filtering and a little saturation or redux. Write a simple pattern over two bars. Automate the filter so it opens slightly every four bars. Remove the mid layer for the breakdown, then bring it back in the second drop with more drive. That will teach you how the bass changes energy across an arrangement, not just as a single sound. So to recap, start with a clean sign, keep the sub centered and solid, add harmonics carefully, use saturator and drum bus for weight and character, shape the tone with EQ and filter movement, and automate those color changes across the arrangement. That's how you get bass pressure that feels jungle-rooted, ravey, and still modern enough to hit hard in a drum and bass mix. If you want, I can turn this into a shorter voiceover version or a more detailed lesson script with exact timing cues for each section.